Parshas Chayesar is the third parsha of Avraham Avinu. The focus on Avraham Avinu is coming to a close as the focus on Yitzhak Avinu is rising. And this is a parsha of transition. Mitchiloso v'atzofo. The beginning of the parsha is right after the burial of Sar Imenu. The bulk of the parsha is a focus on finding a wife for Yitzchak, so that the Ki B'Yitzchak Karel Chazara, which we heard in Parshas Va'era, so we're going to, Avraham Avinu is now doing the Hishtadlos. There were Nisim involved in Ki B'Yitzchak Karel Chazara, there were Nisim involved in the birth of Yitzchak, and there was a direct divine intervention that Yitzchak survived the Akedah, and now Avraham Avinu is going to do his Hishtadlos, his natural Hishtadlos, in terms of finding a wife for Yitzchak, so that Yitzchak and his wife can raise a family. At the very end of the Parsha, part that sometimes you don't think about, because we tend to be, when you're younger, your attention is drawn by the middle. At the end of the parasha is the petira. There really are two petiros focused upon in the parasha. The parasha begins with the petira of Sara Imenu, and she's buried by her husband, Avraham. And at the end is the petira of Avraham Avinu, and he's buried by his sons, Yitzchak and Yishmael. And the fact that they have Yitzchak and Yishmael in that order, despite the fact that Yitzchak was more than a decade younger than Yishmael, may be an indication that later in life Yishmael did tshuva, later in life Yishmael recognized, embraced the Ki B'Yitzchak Karel Chazara in a way that Yishmael's nephew never did. In a way that Esav never, to the very end, Esav did not accept Yaakov Avinu's singularity, but it may be that Yishmael did. Halavai that his descendants should have that same awareness and that same tshuva. I want to take a look at a comment of the Ramban at the end of the parasha and a comment of the Ramban at the beginning of the parasha. Many midrashim point out that there is often a great clarity at the end of one's life. So let's take a look. The Ramban, both the beginning and the end, has very important things to say about values and about recognizing, sometimes in surprising ways, what's important and what's not important. To take, let's begin with the end. Let's begin with Perek Chaf Hei, and we'll move back to Perek Chaf Gimel. Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Ches, the very end of the Sedra. Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Ches. Avram b'seva tova, zaken v'savea. Avram Avinu passes away b'seva tova. That's a phrase that's still used sometimes in rabbinic Hebrew idioms. That to pass away b'seva tova means that at advanced old age. They say Baruch, the person passed away. Baruch Hashem, he lived a very long life. So often the classic way to say it in an announcement would be that we regret to inform you of the passing of so and so b'seva tova. So that comes. That phrase is drawn from Parshas Chayesar. Avraham Avinu passed away. He was 7/8 of the way to being 200 years old. He was 175 years old. Certainly b'seva tova. But what's that other phrase? Zaken v'saveya. He was old and satisfied. Satisfied. We're learning Masechus Brachos. So we got to it in the sixth paragraph and in the third paragraph. V'achalta v'savato v'erachta. Well, it doesn't mean that Avraham Avinu, he wasn't eating. He passed away zaken v'saveya. Literally, saveya means to be satisfied with the food that one has eaten, like v'chalta v'savata. What does this mean? The next pasuk goes on to say that Yitzchak and Yishmael buried him, as I mentioned. Both Rashi and the Ramban point out in pasuk Tes, you see that Yitzchak did, that Yishmael did tshuva, that he gave, at that point he was already giving precedence to Yitzchak Avinu. But what does this phrase mean? Zaken v'saveis. Take a look. Here you have in front of you the last page in the pack in front of you. Perek Chavei Pasuches Zaken v'saveis. Avraham Avinu was old and satisfied. So Rashi, so the Ramban comments, Shiroh kol mishalos libo v'sava kol tova. He saw all of his, all mishalos libo, all the things of which his heart had requested, all of the requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were fulfilled. And he was satisfied with all the goodness in his life. V'chein seva yamim. Where is that? They tell you on the bottom. In footnote 80, that's later in Chumash Breishis. That's Yitzchak Avinu.
Shesava nafsho b'yamim. He was satisfied of days. Lo yisav, what does that mean? Lo yisav veshi chad shol hayamim davar. He wasn't waiting. Sometimes we say in English also, time will tell. It's not really. Time isn't telling anything. It means as time flows, we'll find out. So it's a similar type of phrase. Sevayamim, Rabban says, not just that he was satisfied with the amount of life that he had, he was satisfied with the number of days that Kadosh Baruch had given him, but he wasn't. He was satisfied with what time had brought him. What had happened, what he had gained and accomplished and enjoyed over the course of a lifetime. V'lo yisaveh shichad shal yam davar. He was, there was nothing that he was yearning yet that that time, that the days should bring him. And then he points to a third, Ramban points to a third individual who is also referred to as dying with sevia, a satisfied passing. Ke'in shem b'david. Yamas b'seva tova, there too b'seva tova, even though he was not nearly, he was more than a century younger than Avraham Avinu. I believe David Melech passed away at the age of 70. But that too was in context b'seva tova. Sva yamim, satisfied of days. Sva yamim v'osher v'chavod. Satisfied of days and wealth and honor. So what does this mean? And why is it important? Again, not to belabor the point, but I know I've mentioned in the past, Gemara and Megillah, Daf Yudalim and Aleph, arguably the most central Gemara in terms of Derech Lima of Tanakh. Every sneeze in Chumash and in all of Tanakh is there to teach us, and Jew in every generation, including our generation, we're meant to learn something. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. So what's the significance? I'm very happy for Avraham Yitzchak and David that they passed away happy, Baruch Hashem. I'm happy that those great tzaddikim, you know, our great grandparents, certainly Avraham and Yitzchak, maybe for some of you, David also. I'm thrilled that they passed away satisfied. But why is that relevant for us to know? What's the lesson in it? What's the lemaisa for me? So the Ramban said, Ramban addresses that. For who, without it, once again, without asking the question explicitly, but it's clearly implied, if you're reading with a careful eye, that's the implied question he's about to answer. For who sipur chazdei Hashem b'tzadikim, umida tova b'hem, shalo yisavu b'mosaros. Read that line very carefully. This is a story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed for the tzaddik and a midah tova of the tzaddik. Shelo yisavu b'mosaros. In that one phrase, half a line, Rabban just gave us a whole chapter of ideas to think about. He said, number one, the Torah is telling us that this is a way, not every tzaddik gets that reward, but the tzaddikim enjoyed that gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of satisfaction. At the end of it, to be able to look back at the end of life and be satisfied. Again, David HaMelech's life was much shorter than Avraham Yitzchak, but they felt accomplished. So that's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says it's not only in terms of Hanhagas HaBorei, it's also in terms of Hanhagas HaAdam, in terms of the mitzvah that I can work on. It was also that the sense of satisfaction was a mitzvah of the tzaddikim of Avraham and Yitzchak and David, that they, what were they interested in? They had tithes, but their tithes were for the sorts of things that were not mosaros. They weren't dreaming of luxury. They ended up enjoying luxuries. All of them ended up for periods during their lifetime incredibly wealthy, but that's not what they were dreaming about. They weren't dreaming about mosaros, they weren't dreaming about luxuries. And then Ramban goes on to say in the next line or so, a gevaldik shtikl tegra, a stira between two psukim in Tanakh, and very, very hashkafa lamaisa is miyashiv the stira. He's got a if you sneeze, if you blink, you miss a whole shtikl tether Ramban and a whole very practical perspective on life. Ke'inyan shenema says it's not just that I'm saying Ramban says shelo yisavu b'mosaros. I'm not the one who's saying Avraham Yitzchak and David didn't desire. They weren't dreaming of luxury. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have given him the desire of his heart. That's the pasuk you see in the bottom, Tehillim, Perek Chaf Aleph. That's the perek right after Yam Hashem Yam Sar that we say between Asherah Velatim. You take a look, Tehillim, Perek Chaf Aleph, Tavas Libo Nasatalo. V'lo kemo shenamar b'shara lashin, as opposed to what you hear about other people. Oed kesef lo yispa kesef. He who loves money will not, same shoresh, Sevilla, will not be satisfied with cash. Again, now point number one, about that pasuk is again, it, there also, it doesn't mean that the guy, hopefully, it doesn't mean that he's swallowing silver pills. It doesn't mean that he ate silver, but he's not satisfied. I mean, that's probably true and incredibly dangerous. If you swallow metal, it probably will not give you a sense of satisfaction. It will probably give you an incredible gastric disturbance. Do not try that at home. Okay, but that's obviously not what the pasuk means. It doesn't mean, you're not going to feel satisfied in your belly. There, as here, obviously, sviya is meant as a metaphor, as an expression. You're not going to be satisfied with having, if you love money, you're not going to be satisfied with money. That's a pasuk where, take a look in footnote 83, pasuk in, Kohelas. So this is the father and son. We have David HaMelech, the beginning of Tehillim is all from David HaMelech. The first two svarim are all from David HaMelech. Gemara Bava Basra points out, as the psukim do, that much of Tehillim was written by other people, other than David HaMelech. But the first two svarim are almost entirely from David HaMelech. I believe that and almost all the first two svarim of Tehillim are named, are tagged at the beginning as being LeDavid. So David tells me, Tavos Libo Nosatelo, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shaykh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will give someone the entirety of his desires. His son Shlomo writes in Kohelas, Oev Kesef Lo Yisba Kesef. You're not going to, no matter how much money you get, you're never going to be satisfied. And that's how Chazal interpreted. Amrbo, take a look inside. At the number 84. The Amrbo, Eino de yotzim na olam v'chati tavos v'yado. A person doesn't leave this world with even half of his desires in hand. Yesh v'yado mane, v'safa masayim. A guy has 100 zuz, he's dreaming of 200. You see, get to the Messiah, and then he makes it there. And that was the pot of gold, so to speak, at the end of the rainbow. Was, I'm going to get over there, I'm going to get that promotion, I'm going to get that job, I'm going to switch in the industry, whatever it is, and then I'll be making 200. 200,000, 2 million, whatever it is. I'll get over there, and then I'll double. And then what? Then if you actually get there, you don't always get what you had dreamt of career-wise or financially. But the Kohelas Rabba comments based on the pasuk in Kohelas. But if you do, you discover Hisigi Adol Masayim. If you make it to that 200 that you were dreaming of, now Misava Lasos Arbameos. Then all of a sudden you want 400. Shnei Amar Ohev Kesel Yisba Kesef. I have a good friend, an old friend, who runs a significant department within an investment house. He told me, he commented to me a number of years ago about this comment of Chazal, that he said the numbers are spot on. He said he's noticed, it says he's employed many very bright and very ambitious people. He said almost invariably people think they're worth twice as much as they're getting. Whatever they're getting, almost invariably they think they're worth 2x. Mamet, that's exactly the way Chazal, you know, unpack this pasuk. You have 100, you want 200. You get to the 200, all of a sudden you want the 400. In other words, you're not actually, even though you were dreaming of that 200, I was dreaming of making senior vice president and getting that package, that 5.3 million a year, and all the vested options, and the, you know, and the gold parachute, et da, 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 da. And then if I actually get there, and I make it to that corner office, and I get the title, and I get the money, and I get the package, all of a sudden now, I'm not actually happy with it. Now, all of a sudden, almost immediately, I need the next fix. Now I need to be making 11 million. Which, if you stop and think about it, that's what the Medrash is pointing out. That's what Shlomo is pointing out, Kohelas. You know, that's a pretty sad way to live. In other words, you're dreaming of, I want to get the 200, but why? Like, if you get it, you'll be happy. And now let's sort of run the data. Let's run the simulation. And then you actually get there, and are you happy? For how long are you happy? Or is it just on to the next, and it's just like chasing these phantoms, chasing these mirages. When I get there, I'll be happy. Once I get there, I can't be happy because now I have to get over there. So what the Ramban is really saying, although he didn't say it beferish, but we're meant to put the pieces together, is this astira between father and son. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Tavos Libo Nosatelo. It's possible to have it all. You can be in a situation, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you gave that person everything he wants. But meanwhile, the son, Shlomo HaMelech, and Kohelas, writes, no, Ohev Kesef Lo Yisba Kesef. You're never going to be satisfied. It's always, you're always on the, on the hamster wheel. You just keep running, but you never actually get there. It's always, I never actually reach the point where now I'm happy. So this is a pretty significant question. One of the things people want in life is satisfaction. And is it attainable or is it unattainable? This is a pretty, as I was saying, this is Hashkafa L'maisa. This is very L'maisa. Ravan says, Ansestirim Sukkim, and the Teretz is, licked in Parshas Chayesara. Depends who you're talking about. And not just, and he's going back to that first comment the Ramban made. It's this, saying that Avraham Avinu passes away, the same Tumba Zakim, the Sabeya, doesn't just mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give him many, many gifts. But it was a combination. His Sevilla was a combination of those gifts and his choice to refine himself, to shape what he wants. Ramban, that's what Ramban said. Most people are misavila mosaros. Most people dream of luxuries. So if you dream of luxuries, here's the irony. If you dream of luxuries, if that's like the dream, not just, it'd be nice, okay, if I have it, it's nice, I'll enjoy it. But if that's like the dream, so then, ironically, you just rendered luxuries impotent. If you're dreaming of luxuries, then you've robbed them of their capacity to satisfy you. Because if the main dream is luxuries, then you're never going to be satisfied because it always just, and it keeps spiraling and spiraling, keeps looping and looping. Avram and Yitzhak and David trained themselves. It doesn't mean they woke up like this one day. It doesn't mean they were like this as children. As Huttner famously writes in a letter in Pachei Yitzhak. But it means over the course of a lifetime, they trained themselves, they developed themselves to be people who had clarity on what's really important. And they wanted the things that were significant. If a Kodesh Baruch sends luxuries away, okay, I'll enjoy them. If not, not. And then you set yourself up to actually have Sevilla. They set yourself up to actually be satisfied, to have satisfaction from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's gifts in Olam Hazeh. If you're a luxury focused person, the Ramban says, so ironically you're not setting yourself up for success. If you're not a luxury focused person, then whether or not you end up with luxuries in your lap, you're placed to actually have a happy, satisfied life. That's a very, very, very significant lesson. And now let's go back. A question. A question from our sponsor. And then we'll go back to the beginning of Parsha. Yankala.
Is it so bad to want to aim higher? As in, not just have what you have, but want more? If you put that instead, it's about learning, would that be like the most like
I'm glad you asked. We should explain a little bit more. Maybe we definitely should explain a little bit more. What this is really rooted in is a question of clarity about what your ultimate goals are and how different pieces of your life and of this world fit into that goal. Something we're going to get to very soon. We're on the cusp. Starting the first parak of Maseilas Yesharim. So if I recognize that Olam Hazeh is incredibly important, incredibly valuable, because it's a means, Olam Hazeh is a vehicle for me to live beyond this world. Olam Hazeh is a vehicle for me to craft my Olam Haba. So then I see various parts of my physical existence as potentially tools towards a greater goal, as opposed to just seeing them as if I see my financial and physical possessions and accomplishments as potentially very valuable tools towards a greater goal, that imbues them with greater significance than if they are the endpoints. If I see my money, I see my career as an opportunity to build Olam Haba, the opportunity to accomplish Ratzon Hashem, to accomplish beyond things that are way more valuable than the 2 million. I actually just leverage the value of my the physical aspects of my Olam Hazeh into something far infinitely more valuable than the thing itself. And It gives me a whole, in many ways it changes my perspective. In many ways it can make me a happier, more satisfied person. Number one, the point that Rabban is not necessarily addressing here, is just sort of being able to be a Levyasin person. You know, some things you take seriously, some things you just sort of let slide. Like being able to having the clarity to know what things to really be invested in, no pun intended, and what things just are things that work out, you sort of let it all, you know, let's think, what things you just recognize as being petty, and you don't let it get, you don't let those petty nuisances get to you. So having a sense of perspective is critical for that. And Ramban is saying, it may be somewhat related, that if I value money just for its own sake, it's going to be, you just get stuck in a loop of dissatisfaction. Not immediate dissatisfaction, but long-term dissatisfaction. Or a loop of a lack of satisfaction. Whereas if your goal is beyond the here and now, if your goal is Olam Haba, and I therefore see all the gifts and the opportunities, the resources of Olam Hazeh as even more valuable than they are themselves, because I see them as opportunities to build something of infinite value, so then I also sort of put my Olam Hazeh into perspective. I'm not at all anti-Olam Hazeh. It's incredible. These are gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to try to use them well. It's a very happy, healthy, and holy, balanced perspective to my Olam Hazeh. And I have a sense of purpose, teleology, if you will, telos. And then it's a very healthy, balanced relationship with my Olam Hazeh. And that's why Rabban says that one of the nafkaminas in that, aside from all the moral nafkaminas, is I'm actually emotionally going to be a more satisfied person. I'm setting myself up. And that's his yishuv of the steer between David and Shlomo, between Tehillim and Koheles. Is satisfaction with your physical accomplishments possible or unattainable? The answer is, ironically, it depends on your perspective. If you're too focused on it, it's unattainable. But if you're focused beyond it, you see it as a tool towards something else. And like, you know, luxuries, great. Kashmir gives me luxuries. I'm fine with that. But I'm not. That's not the focus of life. It's not the center. If I'm a principle-centered person, I'm a Ribono Shel-centered person, an Olam Haba-centered person, so then it actually, ironically, allows me to enjoy my Olam Hazeh. Very much more. It's paradoxical and very profound. And very, very practical. It's not something you wake up with overnight, but over the course of a lifetime, to begin to shape oneself, one's thinking in that way, it has all sorts of fantastic benefits, including greater satisfaction, greater simcha in your Olam Hazeh. And then, let's take a peek at the Ramban at the beginning of the parasha. Moving from the Petira of Avram back to the Petira of Sarah. The very end, Perek Chav Gimel, is the beginning of the parasha is dedicated to the death of Sarah and the aftermath. Avinu gives a hesped, Avinu cries for Avinu's misabel. This takes us back to the beginning of the third page of Brachos a little bit. And then Avraham Avinu needs to negotiate, needs to find a place to bury his wife. Nowadays, most people take care of this in advance, if one has the sense, if one has the time to take care of it in advance. Sometimes does not get taken care of in advance. Avraham Avinu did not take care of the kever for his wife in advance. It seems like his wife's petir was a shock to him. And they were not prepared. And now, after he's dealing with his emotions, and he also has to practically make arrangements, he has to find a piece of land to buy in which to bury his wife. And you have the whole negotiation back and forth. And then the very end of that opening paragraph, the end of the opening parasha, which also happens to be in the Christian division, Parak of Gimel, beginning of Sheni, after all the negotiations back, last pasuk of Rishon is Avram hears Ephron and he pays him an enormous sum of money. Avram made a shekel kesef over lasocher. He buys the real estate, buys a piece of land, buys Maros Machpel and Chevron. And then it says, and now, so can say, and now the piece of land belongs to Avram. Avinu v'yakum stay Ephron. Now it's la Avram, la Mikna, la Enei B'nei Ches, witnessed a real estate transaction. It's witnessed by all the chitim in the area. B'chol shbay shairo, the whole town, everyone in Chevron was witness to this real estate transaction. V'yachar kein, here we go, pasuk yutes. V'yachar kein kovar Avram esari ishto el maras de'a machpela al penei mamre hi Chevron be'eretz Kanan. And then Avram buried Sarah in the maras de'a al penei mamre, which is in Chevron be'eretz Kanan. So you might be wondering, there's a lot of redundancy there. We just spent the last, 18 psukim, talking about the real estate, the last 15 or so psukim, talking about the whole real estate, the whole negotiation. It's very clear to us where Maris Machpel is. Why are you chazering? It feels almost like a legal document. The din is, those who learned end of Bava Basra, the din is that when you have a shtar, so typically the shura achrona, the bottom line, literally, the bottom line, you review the gist of the document. If you ever listen to Ksuba under a chuppah, so at the very end, they chazer over his name, her name, Hakol Shar V'Kayim, done. So usually at the very end of the document, you review all the key points. So it feels a little bit like this, where we're chazering again, Avram Beri, Sari Maris, Machpela, once again chazering, Chevron Eretz Kanan. So the Ramban opens his discussion on Pasuk Yutes by wondering about that. Why do you have to hear? Why do I have to chazer this over? We know. Shavlu va'er asodeh va'amokam va'aretz. Why are we chazering again? The address and city and state. The Maris HaMachpela, it was in Chevron, Eretz Kanan. Kikola parvur, kikola parvur, kira b'nei ches, Ephron Achiti. He says, you know why? Because the whole way through, we've been hearing all about how this is the land of the Chitim. And this is the land of Ephron Achiti. Fika chizker basov, kihu b'Eretz Kanan. Ramban says, we're not just chazering over, it's not just Shura Acharona, we're not just chazering over the key points of this transaction. It's not just an executive summary in a Shura Acharona. We're making the point, Hizkir Basov Kihu Be'eretz Kanan, Asher Hi Eretz Yisrael. At the end of the parasha, we stress, after all the negotiations with Ephron Achitim, within the context of the back and forth of the negotiations, it's Eretz Achitim. But afterwards, once the negotiations are done, the Torah takes a step back and says, let's just remember what's happening here. From our perspective, from a larger, more accurate perspective, Avram is burying Sarah in Chevron, which is part and parcel of Eretz Kanan, later to be known as Eretz Israel. And that's a Tchilas HaParasha. He chab kiras Avram, he chevron be'Eretz Kanan. Levar ki atzadekes meisav Eretz Israel v'sham nikbra. So he says that's where we're trying to stress beginning and end. Sarah was passed away in Eretz Yisrael, and she was buried in Eretz Yisrael. He goes on to say that also maybe we're making the point that it wasn't Eretz Plishtim. This was Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay. And then let's skip to the second half of this Ramban, the second to last line of this page. V'hosif basof lahodiya ma'arashi b'steh ha'machpela p'nei ma'amrei shezeh ha'shem ha'nodele. Okay, and then we make sure to clarify exactly which property it is. But then he wants to know, okay, so now that we dealt with the details of the description in this pasuk, there's a larger question to ask. V'nichtav azos ha-parasha. This parasha was written for what purpose? Here, once again, the Ramban wants to know. This is captures Ramban's focus on the Tzorech L'doros, and the Ramban's also his parasha by parasha perspective. That's something we're beginning to see a little bit. Not only is he pasuk by pasuk like Rashi, he has more of a parsha by parsha perspective than Rashi does. What's this parsha about? Why do we need to hear, after we deal with all the details, why does the Torah need to spend around 20 psukim, close to 20 psukim, telling me that Avraham Avinu spent time and treasure on purchasing the Maris Machpel to bury his beloved wife Sarah? What am I meant to know from this? Nichtav azos ha-parsha odia chasdei Hashem Avram. Rabban says, number one, You should see. We want to see. It's important that we see the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with Avraham Avinu. Where do you see chesed with Avraham Avinu? Shehaya nisi Elokim ba'aretz asher bar lagur sham. Says because if you listen with a careful ear to the conversations, Avram with the Bnei Ches, nisi Elokim ata b'sochenu. You're a prince of God. Now Avraham Avinu is an outsider. It was Bala Gursham. And Vahaya Yachid. He was an outsider, and he was alone. He was a tiny minority. an immigrant, you would have expected they wouldn't have necessarily gotten a lot of traction. Adoni, they referred to him as our master. They recognize that he's a prince of God. They respected Avram greatly. Who lo amar lahem kain? Shaya sar v'gadol. He didn't say that. He doesn't flex. Avram is very humble about it. He says, would you mind? Can you introduce me? I need to buy a piece of land. Avram's not coming in with bluster. Avram's not coming in with pomp or circumstance or ego. He's coming as an anav. But the people recognized Godless when they saw it. That was mechaz de Hashem, that they clearly appreciate Avram profoundly. And they respected Avram profoundly. So it was a chesed, and it was a kim of a nevuah. We had heard at the beginning of Lech Lecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him that you're going to be a source of bracha, and Vagadlo Shemecha, your name will be great. And the Rabban is stressing, Gam v'chayav kimo. In other words, I would have thought maybe that the pasuk in Lech Lecha means, in the long run, the nation of Avraham Avinu will ultimately v'avarcha mevarchecha, Gadlo Shemecha. But Mehecha Teisi is going to be in Avraham Avinu's own life. That's an added chesed, and you see that here. And Ishtomeisa v'nikav v'nachos Hashem. And an additional chesed, what are the chesed in the Kodesh Baruch Hu that we see? We see the respect that he had earned, and they appreciated him as a man of God. We see that he was zochet to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachos to him begin to become fulfilled in his lifetime. And as Rabban said at the beginning of this paragraph, and that his wife passed away in Eretz Yisrael, and she was buried in Eretz Yisrael. And he does refer to Eretz Yisrael as Nachas Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu was inherited. She passed away and was buried in the land of the Ribbono Shel. If you think about the course of Parshas Bereishis, that's not something you take for granted. Yaakov Avinu does not pass away in Eretz Yisrael. He has to be carried. And it's very complicated. A lot of politics involved in Yosef trying to get permission from Paro. And Yosef, in turn, is buried in Eretz, is passed away in Mitzrayim. He's buried in Eretz Yisrael only centuries later. So this was not a small thing. That Sarah lived the end of her life in Eretz Yisrael. And she passed away in Eretz Yisrael, and she was buried in Eretz Yisrael. All gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, he says, what else? What else are we meant to learn from this parsha? He says, this is a packed parsha. Parsha, I mean this paragraph, the opening paragraph. V'yoki ratzal odienu mekom kvuros avos. Ba'asher anachnu chayavim l'chabed mekom kvuros avosenu hakadoshim. Interesting chiddush, the Ramban. He says, also, another goal of the parsha, is you should know where the avos are buried. You got to know that the avos are buried in Maros HaMakpelah and Hebron. And why is that important? So right now, Hebron is one of them that for decades has been, for almost a century, has been one of the flashpoints in Eretz Yisrael, going back to the Hebron massacres, Rachman Aslan, in the 1920s. Many have pointed out the irony that those areas in Eretz Yisrael whose purchase is specifically described in the Tanakh, Hebron, Shechem, and Har Habayis, are those areas that often have tragically been the greatest flashpoints. And we've gotten the greatest pushback in terms of denial of our connection and rights to that land. But the Ramban says, it's also important to know where the others are buried. Why? Interesting finish. The Ramban, the Baal Halacha, says, there's a chiyuv l'chabed mekom kfuros avosein akadoshim. There's a chiyuv to mechabed the place where the great tzaddikim that were descended from are buried. Interesting. Not sure what the makor is, unless he sees this parsha as the makor. Interesting. Or it's an element of kibra v'ein, in a certain sense. Great, great grandparents. It's interesting chiddush. And then he says a third point. Rabboseinu, in addition to recognizing Chasdei Hashem, in addition to recognizing, knowing the makom kvura sa'avos, so that we can show it respect, number three, Abosenu Amri, they tell in the Bar Gemara in Perek Chelik, and then in Sanhedrin, Shagam Zeh Min HaNisyonu Shal Avram. This is also on Nisyonu Shal Avram. I mentioned the Mishnah at the beginning of the last Perek of Avos, fifth Perek of Mishnah is Avos, mentioned among the tens, one of the tens is ten Nisyonos. And the Farshim there debate which are the ten Nisyonos. There are more than ten episodes that might be seen as a Nisyon. Rabban says, well, many understand the last Nisan is Akedah, but interesting the way he presents the Gemara in Chelek,
The Gemara in Chelek presents this as one of the nisyonos. Shebikesh makom likbor sarvaloma tachakanoso. Imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him all of Eretz Yisrael repeatedly, and his own wife dies, and he has to go searching for a place to buy. He can't just get this whole country is yours, but he still needs to buy a kever. It would be signed because he could have said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is this? You promised, where are you? And he didn't. And then finally, he points to two ideas he does not like, and with that we close. The Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avraham, has other prohibitions that Rabbi Bi Tamla Ibn Ezra has other approaches that Rabban does not like. Sha'omer lahodia malas eretz Yisrael l'chaim v'lamesim. Here's what the Ibn Ezra says, and then the Ramban is going to attack. Ibn Ezra says, number one, the purpose of the parsha is to teach us the value of Eretz Yisrael, not for those who are alive, but for those who are dead. In other words, there's value to being buried in Eretz Yisrael. But all the kayevo dvar Hashem liyosol nachol. And Ibn Ezra says, number two, you see here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makayim, his promise to Avram that he would be nochel Eretz Yisrael. And Ramban says, I don't understand either of those, logically. How do you see the Eretz Yisrael as a wonderful place to be buried? What, you expect Avram would have taken her elsewhere to bury her? He buried her because she passed away here. It's true, the Rabban says, there is value to bury a Nifta in Eretz Yisrael, even if she passed away. You don't see from here. This was local. And then in terms of the other point, Ibn Ezra said, you see that HaKadosh Baruch was Mekayim, his word to Avram to give him Eretz Yisrael. He said, how do you see that? Devar Hashem la'Avram al-Kol Aratayah, Neskayim Rak Bazaro. HaKadosh Baruch didn't say, I'm going to give you Chevron, and there you go, you bought it. HaKadosh Baruch said, I'm giving you all of Eretz Yisrael. If anything, Adrabah, he still had to buy a piece of land. It was not Neskayim with him, it was Neskayim Bazaro. Centuries later, under Yehoshua, the Jews would return to Eretz Yisrael and, at that point, conquer and live in Eretz Yisrael. The kibush and the chiluk would come then. But the Ramban says it wasn't about ownership of Eretz Yisrael, and it wasn't about the value specifically of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, so much so that even if one did not live in Eretz Yisrael, there's value to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Those may be true, but they're not here. What is here, the Ramban says, arguing with Ibn Ezra, what is here is an appreciation. Take a moment to watch the conversation and watch the interactions between Avram and the Chitim and see the extent to which not Nachalas Eretz Yisrael, but other Havtachos were Niskaimu. The relationship he had with his neighbors was exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him. And it was extraordinary. It was against all odds. He was very different than them. He was preaching the opposite of what they believed in. And he was an outsider, and he was a yachid, and yet they managed to overcome. They were far more broad-minded than some moderns, and they were able to see that someone who's different than them was a person to hold in great respect, even if they hadn't embraced his perspective, but they respected him. They realized that he was a man of God, and he was zocha to live in Eretz Yisrael, not to yarshin his point of Eretz Yisrael, but to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he was zocha that his wife passed away in Eretz Yisrael, and he was able to bury her in Eretz Yisrael. And, as he said, Rabbi went on to say, to know the makam kever avos, for us to be able to mechabit it, an interesting idea, and to watch Avram's, it's not only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, but it's also what Avram did, that Avram had the strength, as the Gemara in Chelek said, to accept this. The opposite of Ibn Ezra. I have not yet gotten Eretz. You promised me Eretz, so I haven't gotten Eretz Yisrael yet. Look at me. My wife passed away, and I'm busy buying a plot. And he embraced it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it's going to happen, and we know indeed, in retrospect, it did. It did happen at the right time. It did happen at the right time. So these are some of the very practical ideas we draw from, very personal, practical ideas in Hashkafa Lamaisa, in Midos, in Musar. In visions of growth that we draw from the end of the parasha, from the pitir of Avram as a man who is satisfied and the keys to satisfaction. And from the beginning of the parasha, you see so much in terms of the brachas of Avram Avinu, in terms of what the relationship between Kalal Yisrael and Umos Olam could look like, what a respectful relationship could look like. And you talk about respect of the previous generations, and Avraham Avinu's respect in Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite not seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that he would have liked. This is just a taste of some of the Ramban's very rich comments on Parshas Chayisara. Over the course of the week, there's plenty more to explore. Over the course of the week, as you work your way through the Parsha, keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on in this week's Parsha.